Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, it's always a pleasure for us to get to come and be a part of Christian Ministries here in Missouri. We always love being a part of the campus and getting to come and hang out with you guys, even though it's usually once a year. It's just fun to get to come here. And we want to appreciate you guys for having us because, it's an affordable opportunity for us. You know, we have our interns here, and obviously, you know, they're all in college and they're on a budget. So for us to be able to come and stay here at the church and be able to do that for free, we want to thank you guys because you make that possible for us. Each one of you who give your tithe and your offering, yeah, absolutely, we're grateful. And just to be able to come up and have a little break and have fun, it's just a good bonding time for our interns to get closer together. Not real close, but you know what I'm talking about. Not that kind of close, but the good close. But it's just always great to be able to get to come up here. And so I'm excited about the word that I'm going to preach today. If you're taking notes and you want a sermon title, the title is real simple. It's just called Stay. Stay. Now, I'll add a little bit to that, when it would be easier to quit. Stay. So some of y'all have heard me share a little bit of my testimony, just kind of my background and what I came out of, and I'm not going to really get into that part of my life today, but I do want to share a little bit of my story with you because it ties in with what I'm going to be encouraging you in today. So I want to share a little bit of my beginning years coming to Christian Ministries Church, because some of you don't even have any idea what that looks like. You've known me for all these years, serving in the capacity of being associate pastor at our church in Hot Springs, and then, of course, my wife and I being involved in Applied Life Leaders Academy and running the internship. And many, many years ago, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, that's when we actually went there before there was actually electricity and running water, and we had typewriters and no internet. And some of that is true, actually, which is really kind of sad. But I moved to Arkansas at the age of 23. I had been saved probably all of about 3 weeks. As a matter of fact, I remember driving up to the internship, smoking my last pack of cigarettes, and starting a whole new life. Because I met Christ in my bed high on cocaine, and I came to know the Lord, and everything changed from that moment. You know, when Jesus drives up in your life, you're just different. You're different. You don't remain the same. I honestly believe that when Jesus comes into your life, if you meet the real guy, you will never, ever, amen, ever be the same. And so I was about 3 weeks old in the Lord. I came through our internship. I went there for 2 years, and I had attended college prior to that. I'd gone to TSTC in Waco, and I had been going to HVAC school. I had my degree in air conditioning and refrigeration, and when I got out of high school, I went straight into college. I graduated. I was doing that for a number of years, and then ultimately came to Hot Springs, went through the two-year program, graduated It was a two-year program at that time, so that summer I got a job with a guy in our church, did air conditioning refrigeration working for him, and then when I graduated a year later, I got out and went to work for his son-in-law, as a matter of fact, doing air conditioning refrigeration, and did that for a number of years. And so Tim came to me and asked me if I would consider coming on the church staff, and he wanted to hire me as a maintenance man at the church. And so I agreed. Well, he asked me, and a year later, I came on staff. I was with another job at that time, and I felt that's where the Lord wanted me to be. But a year later, he just said, well, anytime you want to come on, I've got an opening for you. And so a year later, I was hired and came on staff there at Christian Ministries Church, and I was hired as the maintenance guy. And after being at church for a while, I don't know how long it was, probably, a year or so, I remember Pastor Tim asking me, maybe to do like one Sunday school class. And so I did a Sunday school class, and it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. How many of y'all have ever, done that, one time or something, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, I think I had, five nervous breakdowns the day before I actually did the class, and I don't really think it was all that good. I know it wasn't for me. It was terrifying for me doing it. But apparently people liked it because we had about 20, 25 people show up, and in our day, that was a big group of people. And all I did was just share my testimony. I just told what God had done in my life. So, and I always love hearing people's stories. I just think it's so unique to get to hear where people come from and how they met Christ. And so I did that. And then Tim came later and said, hey, man, we have a night class in our internship. It's a Bible study, inductive Bible study class on Tuesday and Thursday nights. I was wondering if you would volunteer to do that for me at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't think he necessarily asked me to do that because I was really all that good. I think he asked me to do it because I was free. But I've never actually asked him that question. But I was really nervous because it was inductive Bible study. You know, it was like, I'm barely new in the Lord. Now, I love the Lord, and I read the Bible all the time. I was hungry. There was no doubt about it. But I had never taught inductive Bible study, and so I'm teaching this class, and I'm absolutely a nervous wreck because I was teaching people that were close to my own age. There were a lot of my peers, and I was very nervous. Adam knows what I'm talking about because Adam had to do a lot of the same thing. I just passed it on to you, Adam. I didn't want you to miss out on all the wonderful opportunities that I had. But as time went by, I was given more and more opportunities, and time just kind of gave itself. And, you know, now all these many years later, Angela and I are doing what we're doing. But I have to be honest with you, I was just following what I thought God wanted me to do. I didn't really have a clue what God was doing. I wasn't looking years into the future thinking, you know, God was going to do this or God was going to do that. I was just doing what I felt like God wanted me to do at the moment. But I felt very unequipped and inadequate for what God had called me to do. You know, and I talked to Ashley. I know he's talked to different pastors, and you know, you hear pastors say, "Man, I've always loved preaching. I mean, that's just—I can't wait. I just love it. I just love it." Me, I wanted to throw up every time I got behind the podium. I was just like, "Oh my gosh, I have to speak again," you know, because that just was so kind of unnatural for me, because I'd never done it before. I'd never done any of that before. There wasn't anybody in my family in the ministry, you know. Well, they were in the bar ministry, but they weren't in the gospel ministry. So I didn't know anything about that. But after I'd been speaking for about 2 or 3 years, I remember one of my first big compliments that I ever got. So our lead pastor is Tim Brooks, and of course his mother and father were Don Brooks, who passed away, and of course Hetty Lewis, who's still here with us. And you know, Don was just, you know, you just had to know Don. I mean, Don's forearm was as big as my thigh. I mean, this guy was just, he was a big guy, you know, and he was just a self-made man, and Don ran the ranch and all of this stuff. And my first compliment that I got from Don, well, I guess it was a compliment. It was as much as I could get at that time. He came up to me and he says, "I don't generally like listening to you speak, but that was pretty good." And I thought, all right, well, I guess I'm making some headway, you know. And I walked away. I thought, was that a compliment? Or I don't know what that, I'm not sure what that was. But that was a win in my book, because I generally felt that probably a lot of people didn't really enjoy my speaking, and I certainly couldn't blame them. But I wouldn't get encouragement from people from time to time. But you have to understand, at that time, Christian Ministries Church, when, you know, this was in, so Tim took the church in 1992. He started pastoring full-time in 1992, and then I came on in 1994. And at this time, you know, the church was really small. I remember, Ashley, when Tim and I, if we got an offering of $200, we thought, wow. That was big time if we got a week's offering of $200, because we only just had a handful of people, and this was a very tight-knit group of people. And so you have to understand, I did not grow up in Arkansas. I grew up in Texas. That's where I was from, northeast Texas, a little town called Henderson, and I moved there. And so for all of the people that were at church, these were all home folk. I mean, that's what they were. And so I was kind of the outsider. You know, who is this young guy, this wet behind the ears boy in here preaching in our church? We don't even know him. He didn't even grow up in this area. He's not related to anybody, because everybody was related. There was the family. Y'all know Arkansas, right? It's true. I meet people. They're like, they're related to everybody within a 50-mile radius. I'm thinking, that's not right. It's not right. There's something not right about that. I hear some of that goes on in Missouri, though, too, though, actually. If we're going to be real honest, you know, kind of this whole southern belt. But I was an outsider, and you know, not to mention there were a lot of people that really felt like they deserved my position. You know, they had been there longer than I had been there. They felt like that they should have got that position. They were older than me. They were definitely more equipped than I was. They had better abilities than I did. They can certainly teach way better and preach way better than I could. And so, you know, it wasn't easy. And in their mind, I had been given a job that they deserved. That's what they thought. And so, you know, I had a couple of guys in the church that really gave me in the early years, they gave me a hard time. I mean, it wasn't easy. Boy, they were pretty mean and rude. And then, you know, you'd have guys that would kind of flatter you all the time. And I've just learned that somebody that really flatters you in general, it's really nothing more than hidden hostility and jealousy. And so I'm kind of watching what's going on here, and I'm trying to fit in. And it's just not an easy time for me. And I have to tell you, in those early years, I was really tempted to quit. I really wanted to quit. You know, I thought it would just be a whole lot easier going back to air conditioning and refrigeration. That was something that I knew. That was something that I was very comfortable with. That's something I wanted to do. And I even had some dreams and aspirations of starting my own business and having my own company and having a crew of men that I ran and all of that. And I remember talking to a good friend of mine at that time. We hung out quite a bit. It was actually Terry Brooks' brother, who was a teacher of mine in school, and we would spend a lot of time together after I graduated. And I remember talking to him about my insecurities, and I remember talking to him about how some of the men in the church, you know, were treating me, and I didn't really feel received there, and I felt like it probably just best if I just dropped out and started doing something different. And I just think it would have just been a whole lot easier. It just would have been a whole lot easier to do something different. And so this was what I was expressing to him. And after our conversation, he really began to encourage me. And one of the things that he made clear to me, and I want to share this with you. He told me, he said, Paul, God wants to use you. And the more God wants to use you, the more likely you're tempted to want to quit. The more God wants to use you, the more likely you're going to be tempted to quit. And one of the things that he pointed out to me, he said, you know, Paul, you've got a gift. I mean, Pastor Tim sees it. Clearly, he wouldn't have you doing what you're doing if he didn't see it. So clearly, he sees it. And God's put you in this position. There's no reason that Tim would have you doing that because he still needs a maintenance man, and there's nobody to do that job. And so, obviously, Tim sees this. And he encouraged me to stay the course and not quit. And I had to meditate on that, and I had to think about that, and I had to pray over that. I remember that season in my life. That was a real iffy season for me, and it was like me deciding what I was going to do. And because I decided to stay, my story has been infinitely better than I ever could have written it on my own. And so today I want to talk about stay. Stay when it would be easier to quit. Because it's almost always going to be easier for you to quit instead of stay. And the fact is, it's only by God's grace now that I've been in ministry for over half my life. I'm the only person in my family that's been in ministry. And I've been in ministry over half of my life because of God's grace. And I've thought many times how different my life would have been way back then had I given up. How different my story would be today had I decided way back then not to stay. You know, my story would have been something like, yeah, I used to think God called me into the ministry, but I gave it a shot, and you know, and that just wasn't for me. You know, that just wasn't for me. And I've talked to ministers that have done this. I've talked to a lot of guys that have considered going to the ministry because there's a high failure rate in ministry. You know, the average pastor of a church, I don't know if you know this, Ashley, it's like 7.8 years is about the average of a pastor, and most pastors pastor three major churches in their lifetime. You know, for a youth pastor, it's about 1.5 years. It's quite a bit shorter. For associate pastors, it's about 4.2 years. I've been one for over 25 years, so I think I've beat the statistics there. But I've thought many times how my life would have been different had I given up way back then. You know, it's not like being something other than ministry would have been sinful. It's not like doing something other than ministry would have necessarily been wrong. It just wasn't following the story that God had written for my life. And we all have a story that God has written for our life. We all have a story. And even though I was tempted to quit full-time ministry, deep down inside I knew that being in a ministry was the direction that my story should go. I just didn't feel that way in the moment. And see, lots of times it's in the moment. It's in that moment that we're tempted to quit. It's in the moment of the pressure. It's in the moment of the difficulty. It's in the moment where the obstacles are there. That's when we're tempted to what we call in Arkansas, y'all might say this here, cut bait and run. Do y'all say that here? Cut bait and run. Well, that's one of the terms that we have in Arkansas. I try to educate our interns when they come here. I got Noah, a young man. He's from Delaware. He's from, you know, he's not from these parts. And man, we've got him talking the lingo now, boy. It's all, he likes Southern better than he likes talking Northern. So it's like, I feel like we've got him. You know, maybe for you today, maybe it's a relationship that you've been struggling with. Or maybe it's taken a turn for the worse and it's not gotten better. Maybe it's a dream that you've been praying over, or a dream that you've been believing God for. Maybe it's a dream that you've been working on in your life that hasn't materialized yet. Maybe it's a move that hasn't met your expectations. You know, you up and moved and you felt like this was what you were supposed to do, and now you don't feel like that's meeting your expectations. Maybe it's a job that you don't think that you can stay in not one more day. I felt that way, honestly, about my job from time to time. You know, if we're all going to be honest, we can probably all say that. You know, when these things happen, it's only natural to think about life-altering decisions. Life-altering decisions. When we face difficulties and we face obstacles, it's tempted to quit. We're tempted not to stay. You know, I wonder if this relationship has run its course. Maybe it's time to move on. And we think about that. Or maybe you don't feel like the business that you started is ever going to take off. Maybe I need to cut my losses and just quit while I still can, while I can still get out without losing everything. Maybe I should take a chance, quit this job and do something else. I don't know. Maybe I should make a move here. And each of these major life choices deal with making decisions. Should I stay or should I walk away? And there's going to be times that you're going to feel that way. And I'm here to tell you there's going to be times that you should walk away. Sometimes there are seasons in life where that has run its course and that season is over and it is time for you to move on and do something different. But before you decide, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I choosing to give up because it's the right thing to do, or it just seems like leaving would be easier? Because I think lots of times we make our decisions to stay or go based off of easy instead of based off of what is right. And I just feel like that God hasn't necessarily called me to an easy life. At least for me, that hasn't been my experience. But God's called me to a holy life. God's called me to a life to make decisions based off of His leading, not based off of my feelings. Because it may be the best and most rewarding decision that you could ever make in your life is to stay the course, even when it would be so much easier to simply just turn and walk away. You know, I remember a story. I've got a good friend of mine back in Hot Springs, and we spend time together, and we have a mutual infatuation with guns. And so we hang out together because we just like guns. And he can afford more guns than I have, so I kind of live vicariously through him. And so I get to shoot all these guns that I would never get to shoot just because he can afford to buy them and I can't. It's great having friends like that. I mean, I'm telling you. And so I've got a friend back in Hot Springs, and we are really good friends, and we hang out together. But he's got a really cool story. And, you know, when I first met him, I said, man, just tell me your story. I want to hear your story. And he started telling me a story about he grew up in this little town over by Hot Springs called Mountain Pine, Arkansas. Mountain Pine's a real poor area. As a matter of fact, the only reason that Mountain Pine started is because of the lumber mill that was there, Weyerhaeuser Lumber Company, and they milled a lot of pine in our area. And so they made these little makeshift homes. I mean, just little cookie-cutter square homes, very tiny, probably no more than, 750, 900 square feet at the biggest. And so they had these all over the place, and families lived there in these homes. And, you know, they would come in, and the workers would work the mill, and his family lived in that area. And I remember him telling me, you know, he could see through the wood slats in his floor and see the chickens up underneath the house. And he said lots of times they just didn't hardly have any food at all to eat. And they just grew up really, really poor. And that little house is still over there today. And he drove me over there and let me look at their home and see where he grew up. And it's just so much different from the life that he has now, because now he runs a company with over 300 people. And he's very, very well off. He's a very wealthy guy. And he loves Jesus with all his heart. And that's the cool thing about him. He just loves God. And he gives God glory for everything that he's got. But he was telling me this story. When he first took this job at this window company, he was working out in the warehouse. He was just one of the workers out there helping stack windows and do the work in the warehouse. And it was hard work. And, you know, it was just something that he started when he was in his late teenage years. And he couldn't stand it. He just didn't like it, and he wanted to quit. So he was going to a little Pentecostal church at that time right out there by where they lived. And I remember he said he went to his pastor, and he said he'd like to have a meeting with him, want to talk to him, because he was considering quitting his job and doing something different. And his pastor said, well, Eric, why don't you do this? Why don't you pray over it for a week, and then you and I will get back together and we'll talk about it. And Eric was like, in my mind, I just kind of pacified him. I'd already made up my mind. I was quitting. But I had to wait another week before I did it, because I told my pastor that I would pray about it, right? So a week goes by, and his pastor never said anything to him, and he was just miserable. And so 2 weeks go by, and he's staying in the job. And then finally, one Sunday evening after church was over, he said, hey, Eric, I want to get with you. You know, we hadn't talked, and I wanted to get with you. And so they met in the pastor's office. And they were sitting there talking, how's it going? Eric says, man, I'm going to quit. I just, Pastor, I just don't feel like this is what God wanted me to do. And his pastor just leaned over and he said, Eric, I think God wants you there, and I think you need to stay where you're at. And Eric just says, you know, in that moment, it would have been so much easier for me to quit when I felt like God told me to stay. And now looking back over his life, he's so thankful and grateful that he chose to stay, because his story would be very different had he not stayed. Would have been much easier for him to leave, but Eric decided to stay. Sticking it out, it's never easy. It's just not. If you weren't conflicted or facing some kind of adversity, you probably wouldn't be tempted to make a big change. It's when we face difficulty or adversity, that's when we begin to think, maybe I should quit, maybe I should go, maybe I should do something different. And most of the time, it won't even seem logical to stay. It didn't seem logical to him to stay. As a matter of fact, I had a young man call me the other day that works for his company. Graduated from our internship. He hadn't been there but about 3 weeks, and he called me up and said, man, I think I'm going to quit. This just didn't for me. He works in their call center. He said, man, this just didn't for me. It isn't working out. I just don't like it. And I said, bro, let me tell you something. You've been there 3 weeks. Give it 3 months. Don't even think about quitting. Don't even think about changing anything for at least 3 months, and let's see what it looks like. And, of course, all that time's passed, and he's still there. And now he's even gotten a promotion, and his job's going much better. Isn't it just crazy how most of the time, logically, it doesn't make sense to stay? But the thing is, you got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you about the situation that you're in. Sometimes the best decisions that we can make go against conventional wisdom and trends, and that's why it's so important to listen to God and hear what God tells you to do. You know, there's a very interesting story in the Bible. I don't know if y'all have ever read the story of Ruth in the book of Ruth, Man, what an interesting story. For some of you that don't know the story real well, let me give you a little backdrop. And the Old Testament tells a great story about this very dilemma. Should I stay or should I go? Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, their story begins with tragedy. Naomi's husband died in a famine. And so she lost her husband. And so she's left with her two daughter-in-laws and their husbands there. And then about 10 years later, tragedy struck again. Both of Naomi's sons died. And so here we have Naomi, and we have Orpah, and we have Ruth. And they're all together. And there are these women who have no husbands in their life. And at that time in history, a widow without children or a husband, you were pretty hopeless. I mean, that was a very, very difficult position to be in. Most likely, you were going to be a slave or a beggar during that day and time in history. And Naomi understood the grim reality of their situation. And so Naomi encouraged Orpah and Ruth, listen, y'all are still young enough. You can remarry. She said, even if I remarried and had sons, you're not going to wait that long. It doesn't make any sense for you to stay with me, girls. Y'all go back to your country. You're young enough. You can go and you can remarry. It would just be much easier for both of you, and you can still have a good life. And that made a lot of sense. And after some convincing, Orpah realized that Naomi was right, and she went home. And while it was an easier thing to do, certainly there's no shame in it. And besides, I mean, it clearly made the most sense. But Ruth saw things differently. As a matter of fact, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, here's what Ruth said. She says, "Don't ask me to leave and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Now, that was a huge decision for Ruth to make, to stay with Naomi during that time. Because, you know, just can you imagine that? Can you imagine being Ruth and making that decision on purpose? "No, I'm going to stay with you. I'll probably be a slave. I'll probably be a beggar. I have no idea what's going to happen to us, but I'm going to stay with you." Well, as the story goes, Ruth goes to work in some fields picking up some leftover grain. And back in those days, in the Old Testament times, biblically, it was lawful if the workers went through the harvest field. And when they were done harvesting the grain, anybody else that was left over, like the beggars and the slaves, they could go through, and if they found any heads of grain out there, they could gather it up, and maybe they could make a little bit of bread out of it, and they'd have something that they could live on. And this was exactly what Ruth was doing. One day she was out there, and she was picking up these leftover things of grain, and this rich man saw her in the field. It was his field. He owned it, and he felt compassion for Ruth. There's something moved his heart for her, and this guy's name was Boaz. And he was a very wealthy owner of this land. And he had learned what Ruth had done for her mother-in-law. He had heard through the grapevine, it's probably a small community, and he had heard that she had decided to stay with Naomi instead of go back to her people. And that really impressed him. As a matter of fact, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, here's what Boaz says. He said, "But also know about everything that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings that you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." And so Boaz instructed his workers, number one, not to lay any hands on Ruth, to be kind to her. But he also said, "Guys, when y'all go through and you're gathering up the grain, I want you to leave some handfuls on purpose for Ruth. You just leave them on the ground for her so that she can go up and pick those up. And that way, her and Naomi can have some food to eat." Well, neither Boaz nor Ruth knew what all was going to transpire as a result of this decision that Ruth had made to stay instead of go. To stay instead of quit. But through a series of unusual events, Boaz, this kind, generous, wealthy, respected landowner, ended up marrying Ruth. And now here's the cool part of this whole story. After they married, Ruth and Boaz had a son. And even after Ruth died, her story wasn't over. Because if you trace the lineage of Jesus, you will see that his bloodline traces all the way back to King David. And Ruth was King David's great-great-grandmother, a Moabite, not even a Jew. See, it's just amazing when you choose to stay, when it makes absolutely no sense at all, but you choose to listen to God, how your story can end up different. Everything in Ruth's life changed. Why? Because she decided to stay when it would have been easier to go. And it's important for us to see that Ruth didn't stay for what she could get out of it. There wasn't any advantage to Ruth staying. She wasn't getting a job. She wasn't looking for a husband. There wasn't any advantage for her to stay. But she believed that it was the right thing to do. And because she did the right thing, God blessed Ruth. And if we'll do the right thing, we can know that God will also bless us. You know, if you haven't already, you're going to find yourself at a crossroad, a place where you have to make a decision about your life's direction. Should I stay the course when it would be easier to go the other way? Maybe something happened right here in church. Maybe something right here in church that you're not happy with. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody said something about you. You know, churches aren't perfect. They have imperfect people in them. Maybe somebody said something right here that didn't make you happy. Maybe somebody did something unChristlike that challenged your faith. And it would be easier to say, Christians, really? I mean, a bunch of hypocrites. I'm leaving the church. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Someone once said that church would be great if it wasn't for all the people. But church is people. It's not this building. This building wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for all of you, the people. See, the problem is that people aren't perfect, and imperfect people can sometimes make it hard to stay. Now, y'all won't believe this, but you know, my boss has made it hard for me sometimes to want to stay. And I've made it hard for him to want me to stay, I'm sure. But what does God say? Maybe God wants your story to be one of forgiveness instead of unforgiveness. Someone hurt me pretty bad, but with God's help, I was able to do for them what Christ did for me. And I forgave them. And now we've become good friends. And because of that, our story is very different. You know, I talked about some of those guys in the early years that weren't real nice to me. Well, I just worked real hard to befriend them. And now some of those guys are my friends to this day. As a matter of fact, there was one family in our church, they couldn't hardly stand me. And I've won them over, and I'm one of their favorite people. They talk to me all the time. See, we worked through our differences. We salvaged a friendship. See, your story could be one that you walked away like so many before you have done, or your story might believe that you decided to stay. You know, maybe something tragic happened in your life. Maybe something hard. Maybe something difficult. Maybe something that caused you to question God, something that you didn't understand, something that made absolutely no sense. I mean, why did this ever happen? Your story could be that you walked away from God like so many people have done before you in that situation. Or your story might be that you decided to stay with God, to work it out, to talk with God. You choose to trust Him and keep having a relationship with Him. I don't understand this, God. It makes no sense to me, but I know your ways are higher than my ways. And so I choose to trust you, and I choose to believe you, even when I may not even feel that you're even there and present in my life. And after some time has passed, looking back and reflecting over that decision, you see how God used the very thing that you hated in your life to renew you, to change you, to make you different. What the enemy intended for evil, God will use for your good. Maybe your story could be that you learned to trust God and His faithfulness in a way that you had never done before as a result of that. Or maybe you're here today and you've been remaining faithful. Maybe you've been working at the same boring job and just remaining faithful. Maybe you've been here at church just remaining faithful, doing what you're supposed to do, remaining faithful in your marriage, remaining faithful raising your kids, remaining faithful doing what God has called you to, remaining faithful in college as a student, remaining faithful in school as a student. Sometimes the greatest act of faithfulness is just staying where you're planted, when it would just be easier just to go. Just do something different. From where you're standing in your field, picking up your leftover grain, you may not be able to see your Boaz yet. But he's there. You know, I love the scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I've quoted it lots of times. Ashley's heard me say it over and over and over again. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap a reward of blessing if you do not give up. And I just remember our pastor many years ago when I first heard him read that scripture, and he said, do you want to know when your due season is? The day after you quit. And it just impacted me. And you know, I've watched lots of people come and go from our church. Lots of churches have revolving doors. I've watched people come and go from marriages, come and go from jobs, come and go from colleges, in different areas of life. And I have to be honest with you, I've never seen that really produce much. Not like staying. There's just something powerful about the same. Just the same. Because you'll look up in 15 or 20 years and you'll go, wow, look what God's done in my life. Look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. But if you're always pulling up your seed, you plant it and you uproot it, and you plant it and you uproot it, and you plant it and you uproot it, it's just going to be hard for you to make any progress. I tell our young adults all the time, one of the things that employees are looking for is, do you have staying power? You know, when an employee looks at a job application, if he sees that you've had 3 or 4 jobs in the last year, he's just not going to be real interested in you, because he understands that you don't have the power to stay. See, God has given us the ability to stay when it's really, really difficult and really hard. And here's why. Because greater is He that is in us. Come on. Am I preaching to anybody? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I want to encourage you today. You may be tempted to walk away. Make sure you seek God about it. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you hear God tell you that He's given you the green light. And I also encourage you to seek some counsel before you make a quick decision to make a change. Change is inevitable. Change is going to happen. Sometimes it's necessary. But I think sometimes we can be tempted to quit when we need to stay. I'm glad I had the courage to stay, because I think my story has turned out very different from me than had I done something different. And I want to encourage you as a church, listen to what God is telling you and be determined that if God tells you to stay, you're going to stay. And you're going to trust that God sees you working in that field. God has His eye on your life, and God knows exactly what you need. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.